Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Strong catch from Farnworth. Oh, he's kept it alive and then socket ahead by Gamble. And Gamble gets over. This might be something extraordinary. Just before the break for Brisbane, he's got it all, Paynehurst.
Wow. Well, they're two Origin players combined.
Hello, Broncos fans, and welcome to this year's episode of Broncos Weekly. As always, I'm Mitch, and I'm joined on the line by our good friend, Simo. How are you going, Simo?
Yeah, nah, pretty good. Yourself?
Mate, I'm all right. I'm all right. We're both doing okay. I can't see you on the camera, mate. I want to see how your mullet's going, but...
It's pretty good, but we had problems last time with the camera. I didn't even plug it in today, so.
Well, mate, I'm due a stiff. You might see there, as long as my hair's been since the lockdown, mate, but the barbers around here, they're letting me down. They're always busy, but.
You've got hair on the side of your head.
I hate it, mate. I hate it. And, you know, I'm 32 now, and there's a couple of, thank God I'm blonde, but there's some sneaky grays in there, mate. And, it, you know.
Yeah, I get some gray every now and then, but, you know, it's all right. We'll deal with that.
Yeah, but have you seen, by the way, mentioning mullets, the World Mullet Championship for, like, kids in America?
Yeah, I get sent everything to with a mullet. It sounds like when Lachlan Miranda would do anything, you'd get...
Oh, the Miranda stuff killed me.
Yeah, so, you know, anything, anywhere happens with a mullet, and, yeah, I get sent that.
Yeah, well, people, if you want to find it, just, you know, search on Twitter, USA Mullet Championships, but it's just funny because the names of these kids, Rustin Alphen... William Dale Ramsey, Epic Otter, and the last one is a turban, a Landry turban. Of course, it's a turban with his shithouse hair, but just those names and body mullets, and just like Simo Ali, mate, that's a mullet name to me.
America needs some help.
They do. Anyway, Broncos shit. We haven't spoken about the Broncos on here forever. Haven't spoken about a lot on Broncos Week, on Boom Rookies either, I haven't, to be honest.
This is our third recording all season, including a preseason one.
Yeah, I think we had maybe it is. I thought there was four. I don't know. Maybe it's third. Anyway, there's been big news in the last few weeks. We're not only, I think the last time we recorded, Tamari was going to fullback. We've gone through Tamari going to fullback, being a sensational fullback and changing the way the team defended and played. We've gone from that through to he's going to another club. But the big news we haven't covered is Reece Walsh is coming back to the club for apparently really no money, cheap money, and coming back to, I mean, we mentioned this when he left, man. He was a kid who had an 18-year-old who had a baby. It's like, are you really going to move to New Zealand with a baby, like at 18?
Yeah.
And no, he's not. So he's back. He's coming back home for like 400K a year to be the fullback. And you know what? I'm glad that this year he's been pretty mediocre because I didn't keep bashing him this year. So I just get to move past bashing him last year. Never happened.
My first point here is it's amazing what winning does to a team. Oh, like,
my God, isn't it?
Like, if you had this season, say, the year he left, if you've got like a winning team that it looks like it's going to be good in the future and it's like, mate, in 10 weeks you can have the fullback spot. I just don't think somebody leaves that team, but he obviously did, and the team was obviously a lot worse then. As far as he himself goes, though, I must be like the Broncos fan that's the most down on Reece Walsh. Like, I just don't see it. I don't know what everyone else is, and at this point, I'm just hoping that I'm just that wrong on it, and when he gets here, it's going to be great.
Yeah, well, the good thing is it's like $350 a year, apparently, which, again, it's not our money, but considering we've struggled for so long, we've always had to have no money for the spine, it's nice that, you know, he's taken no money for the spine. And the way it all worked out was really funny, how, like, the Warriors pretty much said he couldn't go to anyone but Brisbane, and, like, on the same money, even though they can't really say that, but they did, and Reece Walsh just listened. And then, he's gone to let go, come back to the Broncos. As you said, Tamare has probably been really good, which makes it tough. And Reece Walsh defensively is not up to the standard Tamare Martin set for us. But I think it's easy to forget that, you know, I know Tamare's been really good now, but when he left the NRL, he was a pretty shithouse fullback. He just got back there at the Cowboys, wasn't really doing anything, you know. And Walsh is still like a 19-year-old with a lot of potential. I understand, 20 years old now. I understand what you're saying, mate. Last year we agreed, the hype went way too far. And I don't think he has the potential that many were saying he had. But, mate, like, he's got that pace off the mark. He has no top-end speed. People are mixing his acceleration with speed. He gets caught every, like, full-field break he makes. But he has pace at the mark, can pass, puts a lot of effort in, you know, and does try in defense. He misses tackles, right? And people were comparing that to Tessie New the other week. And it's like, no. Reece Walsh gets there to fuck up. That's why it looks worse.
Yeah.
The other guy doesn't get there. You know, that's much worse than Reece Walsh getting there and missing a tackle.
Tessie is not even in the frame. Like, no one thinks about it, because he's not even in the picture. Yeah.
And then he's standing there shocked on his look on his face. Like, how'd that happen? Who did that? What do you mean they made it through the defensive line? But yeah, I think it's just, as you said, winning does a lot. I think it's just good to get someone back for once as well, because so often these players leave and we get reports they're going to come home and it never happens.
Yeah, like Fifita.
Yeah, and I think I think Fifita will probably end up with the Dolphins anyway. Like, I just think we'll ever have the money to afford him to come back.
Yeah, the Dolphins, like, it makes sense. He gets to go to a different team. They'll have money. Play outside Cam Munster.
Yeah. As you said, mate, winning makes a big difference. Hey, like, a lot of these guys who left the last couple of years, there's no doubt a few who regret it. I think Fifita would be one of them, even though he's got all that money. But also other ones that, like, how quickly did we just not give a shit about Xavier Coates last year or give a shit now? Like,
oh, it's great. It's so good.
He's not in our best back fault. Like, the four best backs at Queensland, Brisbane doesn't make it.
No. Like, he always, like, when you'd watch him play, you'd see, like, potential. You could always see just heaps of potential. And, like,
it's been the same.
And you just honestly, I mean, I thought this, and I'm sure most people thought this, is, like, he's going to go to the Storm. It's going to be a well-run team. And it will just click for him. And it just hasn't clicked for him.
Yeah, and he still scored a try a game there. But a lot of them are still the same thing that, like, it's the same thing that when Alex Johnson's scoring 25 tries this year. It's like, well, is there a winger who wouldn't have scored those 12 tries?
Yeah, not in. No. I think most of them would. Like, any decent winger would be scoring all those.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we've seen the form of Oates and Cobbo. And Cobbo has got mistakes here. But I think the big thing with Cobbo is, like, he's actually shown improvement in his year and a half in first grade. Like, he's actually shown week to week he gets better and does some individual brilliant things. And Coates is generally a bit of a cherry on top. But Cobbo, you know, funny thing we noticed about him, mate, when we kick to him, he does this rare thing, Simo, of catching the fucking ball.
Yeah.
He doesn't leap a mile high, but he catches the damn ball.
It's a novel concept in rugby league. Well, for Coates, but I wanted to mention this too from about Tamari Martin before we moved on too far. I love Ezra Mann, but also just the timing of that is, like, any other year where this kind of happened and you'd have Reece Walsh coming back, is you'd be like, oh, Tamari Martin could play six. But it's, for him, it's just ended up being, like, bad timing of a couple of things at the Broncos, because you got the fullback there. You're not replacing Ezra Mann now, like, unless you're just crazy. Like, that's just his spot.
He's been sensational there. Defensively and attackingly, Ezra, and every week we see something new. And he looks like he's going to break the game open every week. And he's actually comboed with Tamari Martin's really nice, because that's why I like Tamari at fullback. Not just the mistakes Tessie makes, but people like to point out, like, Tessie's run meters on that kind of garbage. I don't care. They're 3 meters most of the time. But Tamari getting his, like, first receiver really helped Ezra as well. Like, a lot of Ezra's good moments when Tamari's come down the left-hand side. So I'm with you. It's unfortunate. They took this upside swing at Tamari. It worked. We loved the signing at the time because it cost nothing. It's worked out really well. All the other guys talk about him glowingly. And then the quotes from him today, I'll read some of them. People haven't heard them, but Tamara said, obviously I wanted to stay. They gave me the opportunity to put my foot back in the door in first grade. The plan was to stay, but things happened and they did well to get Reece Walsh. If you put yourself in the club's shoes, it's a business and he's a gun player who will fit really well into this Brisbane squad. They picked him up at a good price and have done really well. There's so much young talent coming through the club. The future is bright here for the Broncos. There's no hard feelings whatsoever. And yeah, that's pretty much exactly how I feel about it all.
Yeah, I mean, when you have someone talking like that, you just want to keep him around somewhere. But, you know,
you do.
He deserves like a good role. Oh, no, he's been great. He deserves a good role somewhere. And, well, you know, Warriors are Warriors. But
yeah, I think after like a couple of weeks, you'd almost agreed like a two-year extension, if you remember. Like you played like two games at the back or whatever. And I think his agent did the right thing and went, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Let's see how good you actually are. Because he would have probably signed on as being like the backup, like being the 14 or being like the backup fullback or six. It would have been great, but he's too good for that.
He's definitely too good for that role. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's six or one, like whatever in the spine, he deserves a starting spot in the spine somewhere in the NRL.
And I've been an Ezra fan for a couple of years now, but I know like we haven't enough of this podcast to talk about him. But we always so easy, like, we've heard so much about young talent and young halves at Brisbane or similar. It's always so easy to buy in. But it's quite funny that Ezra's one nobody spoke about. And he's still barely getting hype. Apparently just now I saw a message we got that he just finally got some hype on a Matt Nable promo before the Fox game. But he has been the best rookie half in the competition by some distance. And having a fantastic rookie season in a team that like we're decent. But it's not exactly like it's been piss easy for him. He gets tested every week in defense. And that's the thing I didn't know that was there. Because I watched him in Queensland Cup and his defense wasn't there. And he's been fantastic that way. But yeah, he's been way too good to even think about like Tamara step in and Ezra goes back to Queensland Cup next year. He's a first grade footballer every day of the week.
Yeah. I mean, especially you might have some questions about it if his defense was just shocking. But like, there's not a downside to having him in there. Like, you know, you might have a game where he's not lighting it on fire with the ball, but he's not going to cost you while you're defending. So
yeah,
you can just keep him in there and it's safe. It's fine. You know, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, the only really mistakes he's made all year is like 240-20 attempts he put out in the fall. But like if those are the rookie mistakes you make as a rookie, it's like I'm okay with it. I'll live with it. But I love he's such an active support player, strong defensively, and he genuinely looks like he's going to crack the game open almost every time he touches the ball. And, you know, at some point it's going to happen.
Like, obviously, I don't know if you know this about me, but I was obviously a big Anthony Milford fan.
Oh, you?
And so, like, obviously, like, we all said this for years, is like, Milford needs a seven. Like, it would this team would go great if you had a good seven and Milford could do Milford stuff beside that. And then it was just holding on hope forever and it never happened. And then when he, like, left, I was always just, like, a bit sad that we never saw that happen. Like,
We got, like, 2.5 years of really good MILF and never again.
Yeah, and I was just, like, a bit sad that, you know, we never saw what we thought could happen with that. But it's not Milford, but it's about as close as we're ever going to see with that. And, like, it might end up being better than Milford because he'll have a better team around him that works, you know. So, but I'm just happy that we might get to see that same thing we've been waiting for a while.
Yeah, I cannot believe the Knights offered him 3 years. And he didn't take it, but, like, he hadn't even really played that well for them yet, Milford. And they offered him 3 years. And the moment he signed his deal for the Dolphins, he's been pretty average, pretty bad last week. But, yeah, it's still sad seeing him be such a negative football player. Like, he doesn't look like he's enjoying his footy ever, Milford. And that's the tough part of watching him for mine. Not even that he's, like, washed or anything. Because, like, all these great players or exciting halves, they all end up washed at some point, right? But, you know, Benji didn't look miserable in his 30s, did he?
When Milford is happy, like, there's not a man with a bigger smile on his face. But at the moment, he just looks like he's as sour as a suck ball head. Like,
yeah,
just it does not look like he wants to be playing football, really.
Yeah, and luckily it's not a problem anymore. But as you said, we're actually in a situation now that we have a seven. We've re-signed the nine. Hopefully Blake Moser works out. I mean, we're putting our eggs into a lot of children's baskets, but hopefully that works out. Because for most of this year, we've had Tessie as a fullback with a losing record there. Tamara is, 9-2 at fullback. Tessie's a losing record there. was 8-2, whatever. And then we've had a rotation of like Billy, Turpin, Pakes, and then pretty much Adam Reynolds is the only one who's a locked on NRL starter. And that's been enough of an improvement to help Ezra have it easy in first grade.
Yeah. I mean, like, we'd said for years, like, all this team needed was a 7. And it's like, it's got that. And it's been like, what, probably won't make the top 4, but being in that discussion this year, you know, like, it's been a pretty good, a pretty decent season, really. And
yeah, I know Broncos fans have gone off the boil, but I'm still happy. You know, there's still a chance we miss the finals, and I'll be fucking miserable then, because like, we've made the finals some bad years, Brisbane have. We were bad when we made it under Seibold. This team isn't bad. They're probably going to win 14 or 15 games. They could win 14 games and miss the finals, and that's fucked up. Because we won 2006, we won 14 games. You know, we won the comp with 14 games, and we might miss the finals this year if that happens. If we lose to the Storm and we lose to the Eels, there's a chance that that's enough to get out of the finals, which is ridiculous.
That is great, especially considering you have a lot of years where like either a tying record, 12-12, or even an 11-13 record will get teams into the finals.
That's it. There's been the years when 11-13 gets you in, or 11 and a draw, or 12-12. But yeah, it's just quite funny how the ladders change over time. Like, I've spoken about this Bungard on our other podcast with Bungard, like, or when we're talking in person, like, he's talking to me about the ladder, and it's like, mate, I genuinely don't care where we finish. Like, I want to make the finals and I want to finish top 6, but I genuinely don't care who finishes above or below us, because like, my entire life, Brisbane have never finished where they should have finished, you know, because they've always lost Origin games.
Yeah, it's been Origin.
Like, we've finished in the top 4, like, never, the Broncos. Even when we do well, we finish like 4th. But even then, like you said, 2006 was 14 wins and we lost a final, and that was good enough for 3rd. 14 wins. And, might not be good enough this year to make the final. We should do there, but I'm still quite happy with the season. There's obviously, I think the tough part that's happened the last few weeks is, if you offered any Broncos fan start of the season, 5 weeks of the season, if you offered us to be sitting 6th or 7th in week 22, we'd all bite your hand off. But I think it's been tougher to swallow for people because we've kind of looked like we hit our peak 5 weeks ago. Or was before Origin, before we had all those injuries and we brought in, you know, Zach Hosking, similar, even though we won a couple of games then, it feels like we hit our peak before then. And I know that's not sitting well with people, but it's like, come on, it's a successful season. If we make the finals from here, we could be pretty happy about it.
Yeah, it's been good, but yeah, not so much from the injuries for me, but just like when the people were fit, like when Tamari Martin came back and then you're still playing Tessie New, stuff like that just really irritates me, because
you had this team
and they won like 8 in a row or whatever it was, and then you had the people there to basically put that team back on the park. Like, you had to go away from that because of Origin and a couple of injuries, but then when you have the ability to go back to that team, you don't. And that
did frustrate me too.
That's the most frustrating for me.
I 100% agree with that. And I realized when I was at that Roosters game and watching Tessie or similar, I know people like to say this garbage, but actually when we lost the game at full time, I was like, wait, if we won, we probably keep Tessie at fullback. We probably keep, they started Turpin that game. If we won, they probably keep that. And then we probably beat the Knights. And all of a sudden that's what we play the rest of the year.
Yeah, probably.
So it was almost like it kind of was lost. We had to have for some reason. Cause I said, that is the frustrating part, is that they did actually, they kept you for a while. He blended things up and moved it around. And he finally did hit bingo, right? He hit the team. And it has been strange that he hasn't gone back to it. But if our biggest complaint now is what Corey Pakes not taking Turpin's spot, the team's okay now.
Yeah, well, we've got that team mostly back to what it was.
Yeah,
obviously, it's just 2 weeks ago,
it was
there.
A bit of panic station, mate, wasn't it?
Tessie just is like, it's addition by subtraction taking him out of the side. Like, just, he's a handbrake.
Yeah, I just judge people's actual footy knowledge if they rate his work at fullback this year or not. And Tessie's a guy I thought was a great prospect. And the thing is, he, again, just like David Coates, he's like the same player he is as when he came into first grade. And people just assume he's going to improve. And I want to ask you why. Like, what have you seen from Tessie that shows he's going to improve? Like, the fact that his off ball work is so bad and he hasn't improved over a number of years, why will it one day just get better?
The thing with Tessie is you've got, like, a lot of Broncos fans obviously watch the games, so they know that he's bad. If you're not a Broncos fan, you watch your team and then you catch, like, the four-minute highlights or something. You see the flashy things he does do with the ball and you see him not in the frame on the tries that concede. So you're like, Tessie's good.
Yeah. And you also ignore that, you know, whilst he runs with the ball sometimes and dummies and similar, nothing happens. So it's like when Milford, before we realized he was going to shit, it's like, oh, he looks kind of likely, but nothing's happening. Like, oh, no, he's finished. That's a lot of that is.
A lot of that was also like no one ever ran with Milford like the last 100%. Year.
Well, that's the other part of what Reece Walsh should bring a bit to is he's very active, like very active support player, which will help. Oh, sneaky thing, by the way, I love about Ezra Mann. He gets like a markers not square penalty once a game. He must play touch shitloads. He gets like once a game, he catches the markers not square and gets a penalty, which is like a penalty nobody grabs, but he runs into the dummy half and gets them all the time. I love that. The veteran penalty for a young fella.
He's a lot cluier than he's just fairly smart for. We've had some dumb footballers come through the Broncos, you know, like, and just not knowing rules and just not being generally aware of game time situations.
Yeah. And the funny thing we've got with guys like Ezra is over the last couple of years, any young player, any player on the age of 23, right, who's coming to first grade and being shit, people are going, oh, there was coronavirus. Just like any excuse, any business world too. It's like, oh, that didn't happen because of corona. Haven't heard that for Ezra Mann playing like a veteran. Haven't heard, oh, it's the corona. That's why he's a good veteran player. Yeah. It's quite funny. We hear that a lot for players struggling. I do think that you touched on a good thing. We may as well talk about it. Like, funny what winning cures and how, again, we bitch about this for like 5 years, that the Broncos is on easy mode. It really is on easy mode compared to other clubs. And we somehow fucked it up. But you look at it again now, like Herbie Farnworth had no business re-signing. Let's be real. But he took a one-year deal and then they've already signed Walsh after that. But it's like, yeah, when the vibe is good, you're playing at Suncorp, people there, you're winning games, it's really hard to leave. And we made it really easy for guys to leave in the last few years.
Like, you just see, like, oh, you're winning games, people are having fun. Like, people like winning games and they have fun and people want to have fun, like, with their mates. And, yeah, like, if you got Herbie coming off contract and the Dolphins going in down the road, like, 2 years ago, and then Wayne's like, oh, you can come be our fullback. Like,
he'd been gone.
100%.
Yeah. And he probably won't be there forever, but also, like, people are already now saying it's a fait accompli that next year he'll be fullback somewhere. Why?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's people, like, in our world moves slowly, their brains. Like, Herbie wasn't getting attention for ages that he was off contract, right? And then he was good. It took about 10 rounds of being good for teams to go, hang on, that guy's pretty good. And then he got some attention, but now he's injured. People have forgotten about him. It's like when Cam Munster was being out, they forgot about him. You know, it's like the NRL forgot about Herbie Farnworth. So
I'm convinced people forget about Herbie or like never. It always seemed he was so like underrated for the stuff he could do. And I'm convinced it's just because he's white and like he's just generic man. White man. Yeah, the English is not going to help either. But like, just some of the stuff he'd do is just amazing from a center. If you had some, English is, he's not going to get, you know, origin hype, kangaroos,
If you had an origin eligible player play like he played this year, there'd have been hype everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, we miss him and I'm looking forward to him coming back. We just missed his yardage a bit. And a couple of weeks ago when we had like him, like, I do like our depth. Like, Pereira did his job bar the Eels game. You got found out. Hoyt has been pretty solid. Brenko was good in his game somehow. And then Dean Mariner got a shot and didn't fully grab it with two hands. Like, the depth's been great. And that's some of the stuff that they've done quite well. Instead of throwing more children in mostly, they've actually relied on veterans to fill in and it's worked. But we really did have missed Herbie and we did miss Cobbo a lot just because of just that something a little extra, something sharp, guys who can create something out of nothing. We've missed them a bit. And I'm looking forward to Herbie coming back, hopefully next week with bringing back his yardage game. But it is funny because they're not only like, when the Broncos are good, like not only players are wanted anyway. Even when we suck, everyone wants to steal our players. People want to poach our players now, but our fringe players get overpaid and overrated. And I think that's part of a good thing for Brisbane because it helps us draw in guys like that. Like, it helps us get a Tamari Martin. It helps us get a Zach Austin because, hey, you come here for a year, get some attention, have like 3 good games, you'll get a 2-year deal somewhere else next year. So I've liked that coming back as well because that's not been there for a while. That's, you know, that's the classic Tau Tau Moga movement.
Yeah, that was a good one, Tau Tau.
It was, but yeah, we're good at getting players overrated and overpaid.
A lot of that's just they're on TV.
They are. They're talked about a lot, but I've also enjoyed so far under Eichen that there really hasn't been much of that. We haven't really heard a lot about the massive deal of Broncos players where he signed on. There's been a bit of word out of Flegler's camp about him wanting 850. I think he'll be told to shove it if he wants 850. So, which is fine. I mean, mate, you were here making a lot of money, too much money for a number of years. You want to leave the good vibe now and go where?
Yeah, I'm not going to cry if he leaves.
Yeah. I think the last couple of years has also toughened us in that regard. Hey, someone, it doesn't matter, it'll be the next awesome Broncos kid. Just go.
Yeah. Dave and Ben just running the team. Like, you just have confidence that they're not doing dumb stuff. Like, and then, like, to run a really good rugby league team, I don't even think you have to be great. You just need to not do dumb stuff. It's like, that's the bar to run a competent rugby league side that can win games. And like, that just seems to be what we've been able to do.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And obviously that's some important positions really matter. And that's one that we really did miss. Like Adam Reynolds has made the renovation, everyone's saying now, the renovation, everyone's saying that. He's obviously made a big impact too. But yeah, for a long time, we ignored those key positions and it didn't matter how good the rest of this team was when we had, God, I don't want to go through the people. Everyone knows who played 7 and 6 for us the last couple of years, but we had a lot of certified reserve graders. And McCulloch, yeah. Ugh. Oh, God, he's been bad at the Dragons.
Yeah.
What a shock. But yeah, it's just been good to have the decent vibes back. And then the things like Reece Walsh coming back, that just happened so fast. And that was, as you said, it just shows competence. It doesn't show they're amazing administrators. It shows competence, which hasn't been there in the past.
The thing with Walsh too is like, and I like, all right, you see a lot of build up for some of these people and it never ends up happening. I never really saw much of this build up. And then it was just, oh yeah, Reece Walsh is coming. It seemed like 1 week or something and it was all done. Whereas for, you know, other players, you hear talk of it for like a year, like, oh, are they going? Or like, they're going to come to the Broncos. Like you get that talk about Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith every year out of the Storm, like half a year. Oh, they're going to come to the Broncos and they don't.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's also been part of the good stuff with Eichen and Simon. Even though Eichen, all of his mates are in the media, like, we've seen a lot. Like that Adam Reynolds stuff happened like that. It wasn't months of speculation. It was they went and got caught having a meeting and he was signed like a week later, you know, and then Reece Walsh stuff happened in a couple of days. And years prior, we'd hear about guys potentially coming home for a year and then nothing would happen. So that's been good. But anyway, who else has impressed you so far this year, mate? Anyone else you've been really happy with the last few weeks? Anyone let you disappointed you?
Well, Jordan Ricci is the easy answer there as far as disappointments. Yeah. On like, the good side of that question, Selwyn Cobbo is like also an easy answer, but I've just loved watching him play. Like I said this in, I don't know, some group chat, but just like him playing with Reynolds is just great to watch. And he just does stuff that like, yeah, he just always seems to be there when Reynolds needs and just he's scoring tries for fun. And it's great to see. And like his smile is like the greatest smile in the world.
Yeah, it is. And we mentioned it earlier in the year when he's managed trying to get him paid and get him to leave. It's like everybody knows Selwyn wants to play for the Broncos. Everyone knows this. And he got an orange jersey there. He wasn't leaving. And too many people get worried. Again, too many fans worry about this stuff. When you're going well, players aren't thinking, fuck, I need to go play fullback. Like, you think Joseph Manu stayed at the Roosters thinking about playing fullback the entire time? When you're enjoying yourself and things going well, like, players will resign and play whether it's, you know, wherever, wing, center, all that kind of stuff. Fullback will maybe come one day for Selwyn, but that's future Selwyn's problem. But yeah, he enjoys playing there and he's in a team that, you know, Kevy has a lot of faults and a lot of strengths. And I have the shits myself for the amount of mistakes that right edge make, but like he's definitely enabled them to do what they want. Like he's definitely given Cobbo and Stags a license to try things and make mistakes. And you won't get that at many clubs. They won't let Selwyn just have a crack like that at many clubs. And, you know, they pull off quite a few trick shots Selwyn's way, and Adam Reynolds seems to love kicking to him. And yeah, that's been a pretty good combination. And I don't know why you'd ever want to move it. You know, I don't know why people want to move him from the wing, keep him there. But he's staying around. I've been really happy with him as well, really impressed. And Ricky, I think everyone's disappointed in Ricky, but I didn't expect much. So,
yeah, I don't know. Don't expect much and you're still disappointed.
Yeah.
I don't have too many other answers for, like, disappointing players, I guess. Like, I guess Hooker's their other position that's been a letdown. Like,
Billy's been okay.
But also, like, we weren't expecting much either from Billy or Turpin. Like, they're not players you've got high hopes on achieving much. Like,
yeah. And I wish Corey Pakes was playing, but, like, yeah. I think some people have overread into me wanting him to play, to me thinking he's some superstar. It's like, no, I just think, like, it's, I'm setting the bar better than Jake Turpin.
Yeah, he's not Billy. He's not Billy. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's better than Jake Turpin. He can pass cleaner. That's you know, and he's decent service, and our team moves up the field quicker when he's on the field. But I'm not gonna lose my mind over it now. Hopefully he comes back in, but whatever if he doesn't. But yeah, not really any other disappointments that you said. I've been disappointed, and it's not even by his performance, but, like, not being able to see Brendan Piakura play first grade this year, just because we paid him pretty decent money, edge back rower, lots of potential, but the week he got concussed before we needed him, and same thing when TC broke his arm, and it gave Hosking a chance. So Hosking did a great job and earned a deal and win-win for everyone. But I really wanted to see Piakura get a couple of shots in first grade just to put that pressure on Ricky. And, you know, whilst Hosking played really well, a guy in a training trial who if he played well, he was never staying, and he did. He's never going to put pressure on Ricky's spot. And that was unfortunate, that period that TC broke his arm and Piakura was out concussed. We didn't get those guys to get an opportunity. And when the team keeps winning, they're not going to drop Ricky.
No, like, he's going to stay there. He's not like he's some star player or anything like that, that he's got pressure on him. Like, if your spine's doing well, you're scoring tries, everything, he's just going to be forgotten, I guess, in all the talking points.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that's frustrated me this year is that right edge. So Staggs is 34 errors, which is a lot of errors. I think he's second in the comp to only behind Zach Lomax. Like, Staggs is 34 errors. Reece Walsh is 33. Come home, Reece. Come make mistakes with the boys. Selwyn Cobbo has 33. That's so equal third. And then not the most of back rowers, but Ricky has 16 mistakes as well. And that's one thing that has frustrated me this year. And I think he's, like, the second or third most mistakes for a back rower. But that the way that right edge has given up ball so easily has frustrated me a bit. But it's definitely more annoying when it's Ricky, because when Selwyn and Staggs do it, very often, like, they've done enough good things that you move past it.
Yeah.
When Ricky drops the ball, like, Jordan, you fuck. Like, oh,
you idiot.
You fucking idiot.
He's not done all the freaky good things to let you overlook it.
Yeah, or it's not being like, so half the time when Staggs and Cobbo make mistakes, it's like Staggs has got around the outside of someone and offloads it, goes over the sideline. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess you saw that or whatever. Ricky just drops something to hit up and you're like, Jordan, mate. Jordan, please. Please stop. And obviously he has all the tools, but he's been very frustrating. And I've no doubt he frustrates, the coaches obviously like him, but no doubt he frustrates them too, because they'd see, you know, his physical attributes. And the mistakes he make, but I don't think they're going to drop him anytime soon. So, oh well. But last week we could have won that game, and we needed to, honestly. We needed the four against. We could have won that game by 50. We stopped dropping the ball, but instead, those guys combined for what? Cobbo made 5 mistakes, Ricky 4, and Staggs 1. But to be fair to Cobbo, I think 2 of his other mistakes are from Scatoni throwing him over the sideline. So, still, it's a lot of turnover from, like, you know, guys within about 10 meter space of each other.
Yeah. How many errors
the rest of the team?
How many errors does the left hand side have
compared to them?
Yeah.
I mean, well, Oates has a few as well, but, like, again, wingers are going to have mistakes anyway. Like, they get if you step on the sideline, that's an error, right? So,
yeah, but they're also like, they've also got kicks, like bombs kicked at them and stuff.
Correct. Anyway, so Oates has, he has 29, which is a bit, and then other Broncos, I'll have to quickly look it up, but they're nowhere, like, Herbie's nowhere up there. No one else is near up there, you know? So It's not close. And even Reynolds himself, mate, for a guy like he's trying a lot and Haas made lots of mistakes. He's only got like, there's like 12 or 13 errors, which is a really low number for halves. So I'll pull up Herbie's number now. But they're holding onto the ball. And that's what was really frustrating me on against the Knights. It's like they were going right and getting good meters. And it's like, boys, if you just like hold the ball, get tackled, we'll spread back left, we'll score. But we couldn't. Yeah, so Herbie made nine mistakes this year. There you go. Yeah. No, in about 1.5 games of Katoni or Cobbo. And that stuff's only really frustrating because like we got away with it against the Knights and they scored 2 garbage tries. But we just know in games like tomorrow night, I know people don't rate Storm anymore as much as they do, as me and you fear them through history. But you can't drop the ball like 8 times on a second tackle spread against the Storm.
Yeah, which is about to happen.
Yeah, hopefully not. But it's mostly been players I'm impressed with, really. Like, I've been really happy with Corey Oates. Not even impressed. There's honestly not many people stood by Corey, and I've stood by some guys to a fault. Corey, I stood by the entire damn time. I had to argue with people, and it was killing me in preseason when people took that one tweet and were telling me Jordan Pereira was going to start up Corey Oates. I was like, no, he fucking isn't. He's not. He's not this in the same class of player, but it's been really nice to see Corey Oates have a bounce back. Probably regret those couple of years of being an idiot. And we actually heard him speak post-game on Saturday about his regrets of the last couple of years. And it was a really good interview from Corey talking about like how told Corey Parker once him and his mates, you know, use guys left. I had no mates left. And I started listening to the wrong people, didn't take on advice, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's really nice to see him bounce back and scoring tries. He's most in a season for at the Broncos somehow already. But I just love him scoring and Selwyn, but Corey Oates celebrates every try like it's the grand final winning try, and I'm here for it. He does that jump up every time.
So this season from him is the most ever from the Broncos in a season.
No, from his most ever in a season.
Oh, his. Broncos, okay. Sorry, yeah. I was going to say, like, I would have thought there'd be some, like, we've had some good wingers and stuff over the years, but yeah.
Well, we've not actually been very good at like throughout history, we haven't really had many like top like try scorers. If you get me, we never really finished at top, but we're always a team that spreads the ball around. Like, you know, some teams like South for a decade have scored on the left hand side, you know.
Yeah.
So we've only had, I think it's Renoff, I think was it Renoff, Darren Smith, Lottie, and Folau scored more than 20 in a season, I think. That's like it. Yeah. So that's not a lot. Maybe there's one or two others in those years. Yeah, I think that's it. Like, because even like Dell was a try scorer, and yeah, I don't think he's done that either. So for us, anyway. So yeah, like Corey Oates getting to 19 now should be at 20 soon, and Selwyn might get to 20 as well. That's, you know, pretty big for Broncos wingers. But I think that a lot of it comes with like having guys like Adam Reynolds and actually land a kick where it's supposed to go.
That does help.
It does help. But yeah, I've been really happy with with his bounce back. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm generally pretty happy with the team, bar a few frustrating holes. Oh, and he's not played for a few weeks, but Paddy Carrigan being one of the best forwards in the world. What the hell? But here we are.
Yeah, awesome. I feel that's something. I mean, we've not had many episodes, but that's probably something we haven't talked about a heap. But
I apologize, last time we did it.
It constantly amazes me, like the discussions he's in about like how good he is and that he deserved like, you know, Origin jerseys and all this, but like,
and he got the player of the series.
It amazes me that he's getting those discussions, but it's that I also agree with those discussions, and it's like, it's real. Like, it's not like you get people all the time, they get hyped up and you know, you don't think it's real, you know, but like he's getting all that talk and it's like, yeah, no, he deserves that.
Now, Simo, I know people who are here this after this podcast know that they obviously this will be late for them, but you will not fucking believe that Stephen Crichton just scored an intercept try to open the game against South. Off Damien Cook this time, though, but the same thing, sweep play left, they threw an intercept to Stephen Crichton.
Hang on,
Yeah, we have to do it. You have to look. That's so funny.
Crying, yeah, bringing up KO now. This is outstanding podcasting. But
oh, like, I don't care. But I like just that I got like my phone just started vibrating. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like 3 people messaged me.
So, oh, that's amazing. 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah,
it cooked through it.
Yeah, it bounced on the ground. But oh, my God, that is amazing. Oh, anyway, there's one thing I'm disappointed in too, and it's going to rear its ugly head in the offseason, and media is still talking about it. But I'm not even disappointed in the contract stuff. I've actually been disappointed in Payne Haas the last few weeks, and it's not that he's not running the ball or doing his job, because he is. But I don't think we've seen a lot of special effort from Payne Haas in the last few weeks, and those are the things that made Payne like, they made Payne Haas, made him the best prop in the game. You know, when you'd see a grubber go into the in goal and Payne Haas is there is cleaning it up. Or you'd see who was it against? Was it against the Roosters the first time? I think Nat Butcher made a line break and Payne Haas like dives out and grabs him with his hand, you know, one hand and stops him scoring.
It's not just that he would, you know, dive on the grubber and save a try. It's that you'd often see he could do a play like that in the 79th minute when we'd been beaten by 20 points. Like, it doesn't matter. And he was still doing that. And
it hasn't been there for like 7 or 8 weeks.
The disappointing thing for me is I've had this argument with my brother about Payne Haas like 8 times this year. And I keep standing up for Payne Haas and he keeps just being kind of average this year. I mean, like you said, like
he's been a great ball carrier still, but like I've seen him like, you know, not so active off the ball in defense, you know?
Yeah. It's like if he started his career like this and this is like how he played every year, like you wouldn't be disappointed in the player he is. But you're expecting more from Payne Haas. Like
you are 100%. Like if he was like this in the start of his career, he'd still be one of the best young props in the game. But he was only talked about as the best forward in the game, like 20, you know.
Yeah.
And it's those special extra effort areas that you know he has. And I'm just hoping it's to do the shoulder injuries and similar, but that's what makes him the guy who thinks he's worth $1.2 million, whatever a year, excuse me. But if he played like he's playing now in the last 5 weeks, I wouldn't pay him $1 million. So
no, you're like, there's some average people on like 800. You'd pay him around that or 900, yeah. And you know, but like, if you want 1.2, like that's very special player areas.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And you've got to do it every week, or if not do it every week, you still got to have like, because like Cam Munster doesn't do it every week, right? But Cam Munster like 12 times a year decides to win a game.
Yeah, you know? and the times where the weeks he is doing it. He's doing stuff that nobody else can even think about doing.
Yeah, that's it. Like the weeks he's doing stuff like that, he's the best player in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's funny, that discussion when we wanted Munster. If he came now, what ball playing lock Cam Munster, we could fit him in. Maybe he can play hooker. Someone on Facebook probably said that. do we want to do anything else for questions? Not really much to talk about with the Knights game. We smashed them.
Yeah,
we probably should have won by 60.
I watched it the next day too. You never get like a true feeling for how the game was going when you watch it the next day and you know the score. Like,
yeah,
you know it's safe and you, yeah.
But honestly, that whole game, I felt safe too though. Like when they got down to 18-10 and the commentator, it's like, oh, game on here. I'm like, it's kind of not. Because if we like hold the ball for 2 sets, we score. We just haven't done that the whole game, you know?
Yeah, like when I watched it, it never seemed like it was the Knights are that good. I think they're a bad side and I don't really think they were doing much good with the ball. But yeah, knowing the score does influence that.
It does. But I'm disappointed in Payne. I will mention that again. Like even like when I've been up Tessie's ass, like when they, Corey Pakes missed that tackle on the goal line, got ran over by Zay Musgrove, like Payne, what should happen too? And I was like, it just killed me. It's like you used to be the dude diving in as well. But
yeah.
It's not. But yeah, Knights game didn't matter that much. We have the Storm tomorrow, and the most people think ever, like all season, like telling people we're going to lose to them, even if they put that reserve grade side out. And we might beat them. We could, right? We could. But I'm not going in there expecting we're going to beat them. But like, of course, it's their best lineup since like round 9. And round 9 is the back end of the period they're beating teams by like 50 every week. And they're not the old Storm. I don't expect that, but they're still the Storm at Suncorp. They still have now, they have Munster and Jerome Hughes is back. You know, the back line isn't full of reserve graders. The four pack isn't crash hot. It's not. But if we make all those mistakes we've been making, they don't need a good four pack because they don't need to work their way out the field if we just give them field position. That's why people are like, oh, their pack's garbage. Like, well, I'm not going to believe they're not going to have opportunities until we can hold on to the pill. Like, we should smash them through the guts, even without Carrigan, right? We should. And win the field position battle. But we can drop the ball in our own half like 5 times a game. That's not going to happen. They're going to get chances. And that's what we lost to them last time when we lost down there when both teams were hampered. So You know, I know completion rate's overrated, but this is one of the games that like we can beat them if we just fuck, if we honestly keep a high completion rate, play boring footy, but we hate boring footy. And I hate watching boring footy too, but that's kind of how we beat the Storm, right?
Yeah. On the Suncorp thing, I don't know if it's going to be as much of a thing going forward with the Storm. Like, yeah, it's very easy for like Suncorp Storm when it's Cam Smith, Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater, Will Chambers. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I the side they have now isn't like this Queensland origin rep player dominated side. You got Munster, but yeah, I just think the old players they had, they love Suncorp just in general, not just like going to play the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I know they're not the same team they were. Like they're not, the Storm won't be, but I still think there's a bit of a mental hurdle there though. I know, and I don't think they were the same thing they were at Suncorp. I think that Suncorp period's kind of gone, as you said, because a lot of that team's changed and similar, but I still think it's a mental hurdle for us. I'm not sure if we're ready to get over that yet.
Yeah.
And they come in confident too, mate. They beat a team every time you play, and you're going to come in confident. But yeah, if we had Paddy, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this, would be a bit more confident. They did get it right last week, by the way, starting Ryan James. He played straighter. You know, Tat looked better. And we miss Pat doing that from a dude. Like, I still can't believe that, as you said earlier, he's in the conversation he deserves to be there. I can't believe that we heard things at Pat Garrigan for like 5 years and none of them ever became true. So I never could ever believe anything. But I can't believe all the things he said in the offseason actually happened. Yeah. That's what I'm going to believe. It's like, I've been told how good he's going to be forever. It never happened. But this offseason, it's like, oh, I'm working on my ball playing. I've dropped weight so I can, you know, I can play with more impact, all that kind of stuff. And it was true. It's like, what?
Crazy.
Anyway, do you want to do the questions?
Yeah. I might just skim through these. I don't know if Tim, he says to go get Munster.
Oh, man. I mean, there's nowhere to play him for us now, honestly. I mean, I know you don't, you know, if you get a Cam Munster, you probably let someone go, but no, not Ezra and Reece.
Kai or Q-U-Y, so sorry for if I butchered that pronunciation.
Q-U-Y, oh, wow.
Yeah. Could Kevy be the slowest mentally coach in the game? The stats when Tessie and Turden play. are abysmal compared to when Pakes and Martin plays. He really should have found a way to keep Martin on the cheap and offloaded Tessie and Turpin.
It's not his decision.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we said this before. I think Tamari needs a starting spot somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It and did you say get rid of Turpin? Turpin's going.
Yeah, I guess he's
he's off contract. Like, Kevy, and it's pretty open to Kevy, doesn't control the roster. I mean, lots of clubs, people like to blame the coach or similar, but like it's Ben Eichen's job. Ben Eichen assembles the roster. Kevy picks the team. And obviously Kevy has some impact on that, but it's not his decisions anymore. You know, and it never was going to be. And I think, you know, I've been a really harsh critic of Kevy Walters as a coach. I think some people are being too harsh right now on Kevy. Like, we are winning. It's going well. I know we could be better. But why in the fuck would they punt him?
Yeah, I don't have many great things to say about Kevy. I just I don't really have much confidence at all.
No, neither do I. But it's like we've seen before that not the best head coach can win games. And the one thing, and it's an attribute that Kevy has, and that people don't rate it because it sounds easy. But honestly, having the ability to let other people take control is a skill that modern managers don't have. Most coaches or managers don't have that skill. And he's let the players have a bit more say in how they play. He let Reynolds do a lot more things, let the assistants do a stronger job. And we're winning games doing it. And I get that, like, that doesn't make him the world's best coach, but nobody said he was, you know? And if there was another option there, and they haven't given security or anything either, that might move on. But it's a bit weird, I think, how much people want to move on from him again right now when we're winning games. You know, we're winning football games. We're going to make the finals. The club's happy. You want to play with the happiness that's there?
Yeah. From Stuart, where does Reece Walsh rate in terms of defensive and organising our defence now that we can compare Tessie New, a defensive liability, and Tamari Martin, a solid defensive organiser? The Warriors' defense isn't great, but does that reflect on Reece Walsh's defensive organizing? Concerned he will add loads in attack, but it'd be another Tessie in defense.
Oh, he's not a Tessie. Obviously, like, I've been watching Reece closer on that side of the ball since we've got brought him back. Because, again, when it's not your fullback, you don't care that much a lot of the time. And you'll notice some things or not. But, you know, he's not Tomato this week. But that comes with experience, mate. What 20-year-old fullback has ever come in and been that guy? Like, and I know I said it earlier, it didn't come with experience with Tessie. But the thing with Tessie is just the sheer lack of effort in defense is the issue I have with Tessie. The massive lack of effort. Like, even things that you don't... That fullbacks are never... them stopping tries is such a low percent of our happening, right? But you want to see a fullback like, you know, those against the Roosters when they isolate our halfbacks, our halves on either side for two crash over tries. In both instances, those halves made contact and held that player for like 3 seconds. You want to see the fullback, if he doesn't get there, at least diving at the top of the torso of the guy trying to hold him up, right?
Yeah.
Tessie's never there. Reece Walsh is there. You know, and in that game against the against South, people were going about his defense there. It's like, oh, he got run over by Latrell Mitchell. But you know what the takeaway from that is? He tried to tackle Latrell Mitchell. Okay, he got run over. He did, but he tried to do it. Tessie knew, stepped out of the way of Moses Sully and let him score. You know, it's like Reece tried to do that. He hasn't always done that. It's fine. But even in that same game, when South was smashing up by 40, South put a chip kick in, you know, into the in goal, like from 30, 40 out. Reece Walsh turned and chased, beat Southie and batted it dead. And it's like, well, he still gives a shit when they're getting beaten by 40. And I know, as you said, that they organised their defence, but, mate, when the Warriors are that bad, it doesn't matter who's at fullbacks. Billy Slater could be there, Tedesco could be there. When they're playing like they are, their defence is still a shithouse, you know? And the fact that he's putting in helps. I think, obviously, he's not going to be the influence Tamari has been, because we've heard every player talk about how good Tamari's been on their defence impact. But I don't think he's anywhere near the level of liability that Tessie is. Like, I don't think he'll be a liability. I think it'll just be a fullback learning on the job. And he's going to make mistakes, but like every fullback does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Kerry, he said, has Corey Pake slept with Kevy's wife and does Turman have photos of Kevy?
Yeah. I mean, we've known this forever with Corey, right? That Corey Pake's, like, that what the club doesn't like about him is like his defensive contact. And, you know, it's kind of valid, right? It is, but it's like, it's not like Turpin or similar that much better that it's worth it, like that much better defensively that it's worth the rest of it. Turpin got run over this weekend as well. I don't know, but Kevy really likes Turpin. That's why you know he's on a control of the roster, by the way. Turpin would still be there next year.
For sure.
Like, you remember start of last year, mate, Turpin was a captaincy contender.
Mm.
Kevy likes him, you know, obviously another good fella, but yeah.
Thomas, he's asked some stuff about TMM. We've probably talked about Tamari Martin and Reece Walsh enough. On Cobbo, though, he says, Cobbo's great upside in attack. Doesn't seem like organising a defensive line will ever be his jam. Probably move to centre down the track. Is that more likely, do you think?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I said this years ago when people asked this question about Oates forever, and I kept saying Oates is just a winger, and I stick with that one. I don't stick with Cobbo being just a winger forever, but also I'm of the opinion that, like, can we, you know, it'll figure itself out, you know? It'll figure itself out. Let's just stick with the boys and whatever happens, happens. Like right now, and, you know, Dean Mariner might end up going because of his spot, but we have the two wingers for next year at least. You know, we have them. And from there onwards, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's like maybe Cobber goes center. Maybe we have Stags and Mariner stay in the, you know, Mariner's the center. You know, maybe another year after that, Cobbo goes to the center then. Or maybe, you know, maybe in 3 years, maybe Reece Walsh is somehow the halfback, which is in his range of outcomes. I know it sounds ridiculous, but like him being a half is in his range of outcomes. And maybe Cobbo's a fullback. But that'll come. Like, time will come, and retention and recruitment will help decide that for us.
Yeah. From Jesse, he said, watching our attack in opposition 20 compared to other teams, why does it seem like our forwards run bad dummy lines that don't fool any defense? Is it an effort thing or coaching?
Are we watching the same team in attack? Because we score like all the time. Like, we score like every time we get into the other team's 20. You know, yeah. I don't know. I don't know the issue there, honestly. Like, we score almost every time we get down there. And I know, as you said, our sweeps aren't always the best. And I know we have had, was it a couple of weeks we had a pretty poor game, but most of the year when we've pretty much scored when we got down the other end, or we've done pretty well in possession and gotten created something, you know. So,
Cameron said, was Zach Hosking a huge loss for us? Given the option, would you keep him or Ricky? I probably wouldn't really care for either way.
Yeah, I'd keep Ricky, by the way.
Yeah.
I know, but the Hosking has just had the easiest job of all time, mate. Like, people didn't know who he was. Honestly, I reckon 90% of Broncos fans didn't know who he was until the Monday before he debuted, right?
Yeah.
And then he played just two games. You know, two games. And he did his job. He did. He was really good in those two games. And then he went away. It is really easy, right, to look good for two games.
Yeah, it's like he didn't. He just play a couple games, play solid, don't make mistakes, and then go away before you make any mistakes.
You know who looked really good for two games and earned himself a contract? Jordan fucking Ricky.
Anthony Milford. three-year offer.
You know, like, Ricky looked good for that too. And I know Ricky's frustrating, but like Hosking's, and I hope he has a good career when he goes to the Panthers. I'm good on him for earning a Panthers deal out of all this, but you know, he's a 25-year-old rookie, 26 next year, who's on a train and trial deal. They've already signed up for to the end of 2024. We've signed Kurt Capewell, Jordan Ricky, TC Rabadi, and Brendan Piakura. Hosking was on a train and trial deal, only played because of all those guys being injured. Wouldn't have never played first grade for us otherwise. Did his job, which is exactly the most you could ever want from a training trial, someone coming in and doing well for two games. And the most thing he could want is to get a contract out of it. And we both got that. And off he goes. You know, and if you give the Panthers a choice of those four guys or Jack Hosking, they'd pick any of the other four before him as well.
Yeah.
It's just there was one available. You know, that's it. And it's really easy to say, oh, well, I'll get rid of Ricky for Hosking. It's like there's no guarantee that you won't hate Zach Hosking in 5 weeks as well.
I hope he turns into a gun because the Knights let him go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the club that made the mistake. He's obviously good enough to be in their top 30.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that made the mistake there. Like, he was their cup player of the year last year. But, you know, the guy I love, and I know people hear me talk to me rookies for forever, I love Brendan Piakura. Like, I've been watching his cup all year, has footwork, can pass, has moved his tackle zone, his strike zone up high. He's hitting higher now because he was getting too many concussions. Like, just looks all the makings of a superstar back rower. And obviously, I'm not up to the machinations of why he hasn't played first grade yet, but they've been really cautious with his concussions. When he got concussed last time, they gave him like 3 weeks off. But every week in Queensland Cup, he looks like a superstar. So I know it's a different level of footy, but it's only a matter of time until he plays first grade for mine. And that's the guy I want there. I couldn't care about Zach Hosking.
Right. From Blake, he said, could the Broncos 2023 team be the hottest team of men ever assembled?
They're pretty sexy. I mean, people are finally realizing. I said, Corey Oates is the hot man. He's an attractive man.
Corey Oates has been that man for a long time, and yes, just nobody believes it.
Yeah, I know.
But then you're adding Adam Reynolds, Reese Walsh.
Reese Walsh. Well, Tamari is a big loss in that department. That's a good looking man.
Tamari is, yeah.
Mate, Ezra's got the eyes, by the way. The missus was like, oh, who's that guy when it zoomed in on him? And he's got the eyes and the real solid eyebrows. Ezra's a good looking man. Kurt Capewell's done. Yeah, Jack, Jordan Ricky Carrigan with the long hair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Thor vibes. Pretty looking team. Like, yeah. From Chase, he said, any chance of spending a good 3 minutes roasting Tessie and Ricky? I think we've done that.
Done that. Yeah. I mean, I could, yeah. I want to move on because I don't think I'd see Tessie ever play for us again. But yeah. I could talk about his positional mistakes for like half an hour.
Righto, over onto Twitter from Mitch_. Please share all of Simo's sporting achievements since your last pod, which is not many.
What have you done, mate? You're a golf man now, aren't you?
Yeah, I do golf now. That's my thing. I played a couple games of touch footy, but I don't know if that was before or after the last pod, just filling in for my brother's team. I think, well, probably the best, like, touch footy season as far as scoring tries is probably I've ever had is like 6 or 7 tries. I never scored that many. And then I filled in for two games and I scored like 7 tries and had like 6 try assists. Like, I was just like amazing for two games. And then everyone's like, come back and play. I was like, yeah, nah, not happening. But yeah, and I've been playing a lot of golf. 83 is my best score, just 13 over par. So I hit that like months ago and not got close. That's since. Good. But yeah, we'll go out tomorrow and have a hit. I got a couple of days off, 4 days off now. So go out tomorrow and have a hit.
Yeah, that's good, mate. Well, I should get into it. I live in Kensington now, like across the road from the golf, like not just the golf course, but across the road from the, what's it called? The driving range.
Yeah. I just like, I'm on my phone like way too much, just all day, like Discord or stuff. Like if anybody pings me or messages, like I get it instantly. Whereas I just like golf. I just turn that off and I was like 4 hours, walk around some trees, smack a ball. Like it just, it's like the best thing ever. I feel so good after just playing golf.
Well, you must hit it okay then.
I've been playing about bogey golf lately. So like 18 shots over par, which is roughly 90-ish shots in a round, around about there. So it's not great. It's you're not going to embarrass yourself playing like that level of golf. So I'm fairly decently happy with that. So yeah, you get a couple of rounds though that you want to just throw some clubs. It was the first round back after a little bit the other day. Playing a course I haven't played that much, but just changing it up. And then I think after 15 holes, I was like 12 or so over par. So like pretty happy with all of that. You know, want to beat bogey golf, pretty happy. And then I had a par five that I just did you're setting up for a shot and you're like, you should just be playing like a smart golf. Like oh, I'm right beside some water here. Like just shoot it over there, safe shot, get it back in the fairway. And then go to the green next. And then you're like, oh, I could try this miracle shot and just land it on the green. Anyway, try that in the water. You got to take a penalty shot, drop. And then so I think I shot eight on that par five. So I dropped three shots there. And then the next hole was a short par four that you could probably almost drive. Hmm. And I just hit behind some trees. And then I tried a miracle shot that got behind like green and then a bunker between me and the green. And I tried to chip over that, landed in the bunker, three shots to get out of the bunker. I shot, I think, eight on the par four and just absolutely blew up my round in two holes.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's time to go home. anyway, golf, that's what I do now.
There you go. You touch is over, huh?
Yeah, I'm too old for that now.
Well, yeah, I'm probably going back this year, mate. But like, I think I told guys on here, I tore my LCL second game of Oztag last year. Horrible sport, Oztag, by the way.
Oztag's also bad for all that because you twist and all that stuff. Like, at least touch is basically straight running.
Yeah, I was doing it straight. Well, that's all it was, mate. We played this team that didn't understand. They didn't understand Oztag. It was like team of young fellas, right? But it was like first season of playing Oztag, and that was, I made like a line break and I decided like, and I could feel before the game, by the way, I've got a permanent ruptured quad on my left leg. I've had that since I was like early 20s, and some weeks it's fine, some weeks it's not, but what it does do is puts more pressure on my right knee, and that day I usually have in my kit bag my boots and everything have like strapping tape, but when that season started, boots were missing. They've turned up, of course they have, but the women in my life all told me they hadn't touched them. And of course, a few months later, they were where the women put them. But anyway, I was at the field and I was like, fuck, I feel like I need to tape my knee. It doesn't feel fully supported,
Yeah.
It just feels off. And then, I went and played and like I had this run, beat one guy. Then I'm like, oh, these guys suck. I went to step the fullback and then, that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I heard the pop. And I was like, fuck, here we go. And honestly, I tore the least bad one to tear. I tore like the LCL, not majorly. Okay. That was like a month on crutches or two on crutches and recovery. But like, I thought of my ACL and I was like, mate, I'm too crocked to recover from an ACL injury because I've got my other fucked quad as well. I was like, fuck, that could be my sports just done. But
if you're not a professional athlete and have access to all their stuff, like an ACL can just be it for people.
Yeah, well, mixed with my other leg, like having the ruptured quad. But like, man, I had to run for the train the other day, light rail, and because I haven't run like since then properly, I am like, as you, when you get older, mate, I am so out of shape. Like, I've been much heavier before, but I am in the worst shape of my life since then. Hey.
Rightio.
Anyway, last question. Any more questions?
Getting sidetracked. Yeah, I've got a few here. Sorry. Oh, God. Yeah, we're just getting sidetracked. From Danny Boy. It's a brave loss to the Storm, the loss we need to have to perfectly continue the 06 vibes journey.
Well, the loss of the Tigers was the 06 vibes. But yeah. I'd love to win tomorrow night. I really want a Suncorp final in the first week, like so bad. So bad. I'm already off work that weekend and everything. Like I'm ready to come up. You know, I want it so goddamn bad. And if that doesn't happen, I'll be very, a very sad boy if we don't get one. Like if we somehow end up seventh on with like 14, 15 wins.
Yeah, I want a home final. From Mitch underscore again, he said, if we win the premiership, is it that we've been biking our way to victory after the Kevolution was supplemented with the Rainovation? I think the answer is yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes. I'm all in on the slogans.
Yeah. From Cruzy06, where will Munster signing be announced and why is he signing with the Broncos?
Oh, I would love it. Obviously somewhere, play him somewhere. I don't know where. My God, I cannot believe they've only got 800,000 for him. I can't believe they paid all the other guys first.
If ever there was a player that you were like, you don't have a position, your position is just on the field, give Munster that position. Like, I don't know who you take off the field, but just you go out there and just do whatever you want. From Jack W. Colley, is Kevy the only man alive who doesn't realize Ricky needs to be dropped? Why is Xavier Willison the future best middle in the game and we don't care about Haas leaving?
Yeah, I mean, Haas leaving, we're going to care. Like, we are.
Like, the thing that is going to make me not care is that, like, we said this before about his management and what it's just going to be a thing every year, him leaving, him going to what French Union or whatever it was. Like I'm over that already and it's been like 2 months of it.
Yeah, mate. I think that's the thing. Who he signed up with, it's quite funny hearing him talk. He hasn't really got a full understanding, I think, of where things are coming from. He's like, I don't know where this union stuff came from. Yeah, I'm not leaving Australia. It's like, mate, that's
your, the person you pay to do that.
Yeah, that's the guy doing that. It's like they're not the paper isn't making up the union talks for you, mate. They're not. Your agent is making them up. And that's a funny part. It's like, hey, you signed with the dude, or you're with the dude and his team that took Sonny Bill Williams to Europe for money. You're going to get linked to Gunny Europe for money? You know, like, yeah, obviously, but I think you said, if he goes, I'll still be upset. But as you said, the other part is this bullshit's never stopping, though, hey, with these current managers.
No, it's going to be just constant.
Yeah. And it just feels like it doesn't matter. Like, people don't go in the Sonny Bill Williams camp or similar to stay in the same spot forever. So it feels like no matter what, he won't be a Bronco for life if he stays with those guys. So,
yeah. Like, so I've already given up on that. So yeah. If it happens, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and the one thing with the advantage we have for Payne is that, like, honestly, he can't really play any other sport. Like, he can't play union. What sports is he going to play in union? Like, he's not a union forward.
Boxing's the only other thing he can go do.
That's it, but they do it at the same time now. As I was saying, like, he's not going to go play union. He can't play AFL. So, like, all the forwards that went from league to union, because it's such a technical position playing in the union forwards, they played, like, inside centre. Like, Sam Birch inside centre, Ben Teo inside centre. Payne Haas is not playing centre in union.
Those guys played, like, second row here. So
I'm saying, yeah, that's it. Like, Payne Haas is nowhere near a union convert. Like, you can't go there and play that. Or, like, you know, he looks like a number eight in union. But, like, if you've, you know, done zero work of being a union forward, you can't just go there in your 20s and be a good union forward.
Yeah. From Osport Matters, he said, this is preempting the first 20 minutes of the podcast. Cam Smith, G.I. Cronk, and Ashton Sims are gone, fellas. It's okay to acknowledge the storm of dirt.
Look, you say that, Andy.
We're going to get banged.
It's really worked out for us post those guys, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And everyone else. It's really worked out. Like, I know they're not the team they were at the start of the year or last year right now, but we haven't beaten them since 2016. You know, maybe we need Cooper, Cam, and those guys back.
Do you remember this was a big meme and, like, I guess a story in, like, soccer circles, but it was when like Alex Ferguson, Man United were playing Tottenham and they were getting beaten in the first half.
Yeah.
And he goes in to give the halftime talk and he's like, lads, it's Tottenham, and walked out. Like,
yeah.
I feel that's all Bellamy has to do to the Storm. It's like, guys, it's the Broncos and we're at Suncorp. And then walk out. Like, what are we that's doing all here, you boys? Need.
Yeah, and that mental stuff does matter. Even though the team rolls over, it does matter. People like think it doesn't matter, but it's like, no, that Storm team will come in with confidence no matter what, playing at Suncorp. And also on the back of how they played the last few weeks. Like they have, again, I know they only beat the Titans and Panthers without half their good players, but they still won.
They look, you know? They look better too. Like,
yeah, but also they'll come in, the winner's confidence will come in with, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully we can beat them. Like, they are beatable. They are. But there's a reason, like, $1.50 favorite as well, because everyone knows they beat us up there, you know?
Yep. From Buttsy, he said, if the Broncos let Haas leave and Chase Monster.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How will that help combat the crippling depression caused by me missing Simo? Everyone's got all nice comments for me tonight. It's,
look at that, mate. They miss your touch stories, mate. They just want the podcast back semi-regularly.
From M. Sprouse, how is the passport shredding going? It's good weather up here. I love our winters up here.
Yeah, look, it was on our cards moving back up there. But like I've got a house deposit money, but essentially it can't use it until Anna's visa is permanent. So,
okay.
Like, cause essentially they won't include Anna's salary in anything, like any of our applications.
Yeah, yep.
And whilst we could buy a house and just my house, I'd rather be like salary. I'd rather buy a house we can actually afford. If you get me, we can get a better house. So we're looking at houses in Brisbane. We were, but then that happened. So probably 3 or 4 years away.
I every now and then I'll just mention to Emily that we should, you know, consider Brisbane.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Like, I haven't gotten
very far yet, but, you know.
I know Magic Round isn't real life, but, like, every time I go to Suncorp, mate, I want to move up there. And you have the same feeling when you go down.
Oh, it's not even just Suncorp. Like,
it's the vibe.
You're just there for, like, a regular game. Like, if I go down, it's, you know, usually a bigger game, like a Cowboys game, you know, you get. It's bigger than just, you know, Friday night versus the Tigers or whatever. But
yeah,
you just, anytime you're down there, it's just a great place. I don't think there's more Walters stuff talk, hooker talk. Here we go. Last one here we'll do from Morris. F me, I thought you boys retired. Should wait and do it after we beat the Storm for the first time in 20 years. Looking forward to it. P.S. How bad is our bench?
Well, yeah, we're looking at doing one. We spoke like last week here to get a podcast in, but I've had the other one the last two nights. But, like, you know, we could wait till after the win, or we could just make sure we podcast it. You know?
I think, well, we definitely found it easier before you changed around Boom Rookies, because it used to be just like Wednesday nights and it fit in and it worked.
Yeah. Also a different time. Like, you know, you didn't have kids, not just that, but it's like that. I have my partner here now too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I could be that, oh, I'm a girlfriend guy, but it's like Anna's in Australia, right? And she knows nobody but me. So I understand when you bring someone overseas into the country that you have to commit a bit more time to them than you would in other times. And, you know, very often, like, she went dancing tonight, which is good, went to a dance class. But, you know, sometimes it's like, I want a podcast, but also Anna's really lonely. So it just misses it. It happens.
Yeah. You can only just give them the laptop and Netflix so many times.
Oh, mate, if, you know, if there was any money in it in Australia, like there is overseas, and I know there is for a few people, I'd love to just podcast forever, you know, not work and do that, but it can't be a conglomerate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sports is not big enough.
There was one question about Pangai. I think we should answer. Where's that?
I have not even seen that.
Okay, here we go. I'll ask this one. So Jack Colley asks us, why are we going to squander 3 years of Reynolds with Kevy as coach because we couldn't bullet him with an okay performance to get a better coach? Well, it's, I get it, mate. I do get it. You know, I would love a better coach as well, but it's just the timing thing. You know, it's like they really can't, and maybe they will eventually, but on it's, they really can't punt Kevy after how they've played now, right? And Reynolds seems to be enjoying himself. It'd have to come from the playing group for Kevy to go right now, you think. And maybe he could go in the offseason, but even then, like the way they've managed the club so well now, if they were looking to replace him, we wouldn't hear about it.
I think also, like, I think you could replace Kevy, but not in the current coaching situation. Like, I don't think there's anyone out there that is like, this person is the next greatest coach. You need to get this person. Or there's not like, like if Craig Bellamy was, we've talked, it's always Craig Bellamy. But if he was off contract and if he wanted to come to Brisbane, like, yeah, you could make it happen for the right people. But there's no one out there, I think, is really like banging down the door to be a great coach for a long time at the Broncos. And I don't like, I honestly just think Adam Reynolds, like I'm not there day to day. I don't know. The vibe I get is that Adam Reynolds does pretty much the coaching and tells Kevy what to do. And Kevy's just like cracking 4Xs and stuff. Like,
well, Kevy's admitted that Reynolds made him a better coach, and that takes balls to admit that too. But yeah, that's part of it, right? No, I get that. I get what he's saying. And maybe it could be another year away that'll change and might be squandering. But I really don't think, like, I know people want to win comps. And I think we're a good chance, like we're a good squad next year, you know, that like we might be a contender. But I think the club's happy with being competent right now for a little while. And his next question, he said, for me, he says, for Mitch, what do you miss most about Tevita Pangai? For him, it's the twice a year smug satisfaction of being right on him. Well, I was ready for him to go last year. People know now. The year before when it got announced he was going to go, I was furious. But last year, I was like, yeah, that's time to go. Good money for him. Whatever, we can move on. But he's also gone to the Dogs and he's gone to the Dogs and not been fit. Right. Not been fit that year, this year, which hasn't helped. But Jesus Christ, you put him fit Pangai in Ricky's spot, would be killing, he'd be killing it.
Yeah.
On that edge. But whatever. Like, I do miss the couple of really good games a year, but honestly, the fact that he's left and been injured most of the year, I haven't missed him at all.
I mean, yeah, you used to get those couple of good games and go find that old Chris Garry tweet about ceiling.
Exactly.
I think Pangai will be better next year. Bulldogs will be better next year. I think he'll be better next year. And I'm always getting, like, when he has those good games, I'm going to always enjoy that. And
yeah, same.
If he plays for someone else, you don't have to not enjoy the bad games.
Yeah, I mean, 100%, mate. I'm with you on that. Like, you play somewhere else and he's good. It's positive, but he has barely trained all year at that Bulldogs full time with the carrying hammy injuries or similar. But yeah, I did enjoy it. Like, there is a couple of games a year, like Pangai for us. We all know this. It's true as well. He hit a level that no one else in our team hit, or many forwards don't. So it was fun.
Yeah. This Penrith game is so good. You've been watching it?
Yeah, it's on the second screen. We've got the reverse Dom Young from Liam Martin there. Like, you know how Dom Young had a 12-point try from saving and scoring?
Yeah, yeah.
Liam Martin just bombed a try and then collected it in. Yeah. Like, just bomb putting the ball down in the... It's a very Broncos try to concede by them, actually. Forward to drop the ball, chasing a kick in the in goal, and then concede on the 7-tackle set after it. Terrible.
Yeah, righto. Well, I think that's all we've
got. That's it. Podcast is done. We're good to be back. Maybe we'll be back in the next 6 months.
See you all in like 2 months' time.
Yeah, see you later.
All right, see ya.